How do we help weaken the link between trauma and a blaming mindset? In the previous video, we touched on a few of the factors that could lead to an excessively differentiated default mode network. One of those factors was trauma. Trauma, as we know, can impact so many different areas of the brain and leave its deep tracing on the nervous system. The difficult part is that when a person has experienced trauma, it can leave them more susceptible to blame. And this goes both ways, by the way. They can struggle with receiving blame as well as with externalizing it.
When you're traumatized, your brain changes. And it changes to pick up danger all the time. So you get a fear-driven brain that picks up any sign of danger all the time, and you live in that constant state of fear and the constant state of defense.
That's Dr. Bessel van der Kolk. Bessel has worked extensively with trauma and its long-lasting effects, and he's seen firsthand how trauma can alter the way a client deals with blame.
So the issue when you're traumatized is that your whole alarm system is always ringing, and so any piece of affect you pick up from around you. So you tend to get very vulnerable to respond to other people who are upset or other people who are angry or other people who are critical. And you're always on guard. And so you go through life getting hurt a lot.
That's one of the most challenging parts of working with trauma. Clients do get hurt more often because their brain and nervous system has become hypervigilant. And they can become ultra sensitive to other people's emotions and behaviors. But here's something to note. This change in sensitivity can also go the other way.
Sometimes they get very insensitive. They feel nothing. And the DSM-5 has made some progress in that, in really distinguishing these two variations of trauma. One is the hyperreactivity, the other one is the shutting down. And oftentimes many people have a combination. They're shut down part of the time and hyperreactive other parts of the time.
That's an important distinction to make when we're looking at the impact of trauma. Yes, it can make a client more hyperactive, but it can also lead them to freezing out or shutting down. Okay, back to the main point. Clients who've experienced trauma can become more sensitive, more reactive to displays of anger or criticism. And this is the opening that blame is looking for. Once blame gets a hold of the client's brain, it can become a painful part of how they experience the world. So how can we change this?
Well, I think people start changing when they get in touch with the feelings it brings up for them. I think these changes occur sort of automatically. As you work with the inner person and all the scared and upset parts of them, they become less likely to project their issues on other people. So if they, for example, if people say, all these people I work with are such assholes, and you go like, you know, they say they really scare you, they upset you, and you deal with their own triggers of what upsets them so much, they start maybe seeing these people as just flawed human beings rather than people have it in for them. So that's very relevant for trauma, of course, because traumatized people are always feel hurt by somebody all the time. Because when you're traumatized, you get very, very vulnerable to take other people's emotions onto yourself and to take it very personally.
Did you catch that? Right there is a critical piece of the blame puzzle. People who are traumatized can often take other people's reactions personally. So the goal then is to help the client turn toward their emotional triggers and see how they may be playing a role in the problem. From there, the hope would be that they can begin to shift and see other people's reactions as simply character flaws instead of as personal attacks. Okay, so how do we do this? What needs to happen in order for this shift to take place? First, you may need to stabilize the client's internal world and help them be less fearful.
In my practice, it really involves offer them some neurofeedback, where you calm the brain down, so you are not so reactive to anything around, everything around you, getting to know your body, getting to own your body. All these are aspects of getting less vulnerable to other people's emotions. Again, I take it to a neuroscience point of view. You need to build up what's called the midline structures of the cortex, which the areas of the brain having to do with self-awareness and self-observation. And so once you really know who you are and what your feelings are, you can say, this guy's having feelings, but they don't match my feelings.
This is an important part of the process. Through mindfulness and body work, the client can try to build a greater awareness of the self and of their own emotions. This, in turn, can help bring down reactivity and judgmental feelings, which can help change how they deal with others.
It becomes more and more possible to say, oh, you're angry, and I am not. You're a bloviating, self-important person, and I'm not. That's your problem, not mine. As long as you're wide open and very vulnerable, other people's feelings come right in and hijack you. But, you know, you see this after meditation. So after people go through meditation retreats, they go back to the same old environment, and they just shake their head and say, oh, there he goes again. Instead of going like looking for a confrontation, you go like, that person having a problem. And that's very strongly correlated with activation of the midline structure of the brain, which you can activate when you do prolonged meditation and yoga and introspective work.
Deepening in interoceptive physical awareness helps people become more empathic for others while also being more differentiated. That's what we really want to develop. So this internal awareness of body sensations gives people the capacity to do both. That's what we're working on, being both empathic while centered and grounded in oneself and not feeling overwhelmed by the other person.
This can be a helpful way to look at why bottom-up interventions can be so effective with certain clients. Now, once we help the client build up this physical awareness and empathy, we may also want to look at ways to help them integrate it into their brain.
Another quickly piece of the brain that's relevant here, and it's implicit in what Bessel was talking about, is the frontal portion of the cingulate cortex, the anterior portion is called. And that little part of the brain, again, right in the midline, very important, helps us integrate thinking and feeling. So if people also start languaging their internal body sensations in a simple way, tension, pleasant, unpleasant, soft, warm, cool, that simple process trains the anterior cingulate cortex. It relates to ancient mindfulness practices of noting, for example, simply observing. And when the two of those come together, internal awareness of the body combined with the capacity to comment on it, we're strengthening thinking and feeling, bringing them both together. Many people can feel while they're feeling, but they can't think while they're feeling. Other people can think, but they can't bring feeling into thinking.
So by helping the client engage that anterior cingulate cortex part of the brain, we can help them to integrate these thoughts and feelings. What this does is help deepen the sense of being an autonomous self that's also intimately connected to others. Once a client is able to do this, they can better learn how to manage themselves. So the next time they come up against a rude or desperate person, they can stay centered and even begin to see things through the other person's eyes.
It's about self-awareness, using your mirror neuron system to understand what's going on with other people, but not in order to be hijacked by this person and to say, oh, this person is really mad, and I am not. So I wonder what I can do to help that person to be less aggressive and mean to me. So that's really the big difference, is that I'm I and you are you, and I see where you're coming from, and I understand it, but you're not going to own me.
That can be one of the most powerful areas of healing for the client. Once they can face the fire without getting burned, blame can become less of a factor in their lives. In the next module, we'll look at how to work with clients who are stuck in a cycle of blaming others. I'll see you there.